One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we watch Blizzard Entertainment and its games as carefully as is humanly possible, and yet they still manage to surprise us at the last minute with stuff while we're off doing other things. Hi, I'm Matt. I'm the host. With me this week is fantastic co-host Anne Stickney. Anne, how have you been?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Tired. It's been a nuts. They started road construction down the road from my house, and they're doing it at night, and it's like clockwork. Every night around midnight, they're suddenly like, it's everything is normal, quiet, average, and then you hear, and it gets louder and louder, and it's like, what is that? What is that noise? What is that? Are they like digging a hole to hell? What's going on?
They've let the beasts out of the sewers.
I don't know what they're doing over there, but it's terrifying. Also, we saw a coyote last week while we were walking my dog, and that's been kind of bugging me ever since, because it was a big coyote. It was the biggest coyote I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen coyotes before. Usually
they're
not
that scrawny out here. They're not
this
like
huge. One was, you know how the top end is supposed to be around 40 pounds?
Yeah.
This one looked like it weighed 50. Like this was a big, burly coyote.
Chunky coyote. Okay.
Yeah. So that happened.
That's not good.
And it's like weird because Edmonton's a major city. There's like a million people living here. But it's got this huge park. Like the freeway goes right through a whole park area. And so it's like all these ways for the animals to get around. So there's actually been a big coyote problem in Edmonton this year. A couple people's dogs have died. So we were like, okay, grab the dogs, walking home carrying it. The dog's like, what? No, I want to go meet my new friend. I was like, nope, no, you're not meeting that coyote. So that's been my week.
See, out here, I live on a mountain. So coyotes are just kind of around along with a bunch of other wildlife. And if you live out here, you don't leave your animals outside unless they're in like a pen, with preferably a high fence, and never cats. You do not let cats outside ever. All cats here are indoor cats unless you're foolish and you feel like just putting some snacks out there for the various and assorted wildlife, coyotes firmly included in that statement. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I most of what I've been doing has been like just dinking around with my level 120 and also working on leveling my Horde character. I'm like about 3/4 of the way through Nazmir, and it's just as good as I remembered it being. And then on my 120, you know, we didn't talk about this last week. I feel like we should talk about this. So as of today, I am at, like a month now, maybe a little more than a month, having never seen a single solitary world quest with a dagger as a quest reward. None. I've seen umpteen swords. I've seen tons of maces. I've seen a lot of fist weapons. I have not seen a dagger. I am still toting around the 310 daggers that I bought from the auction house when I ding 120.
Yeah, I've actually wanted to ask people, like, if you play an assassination rogue or a demon hunter, have you seen your weapon type? Like, I mean, have you seen a single glaive? Any glaives? I know that you can use other weapons, but have you seen glaives? Have they dropped? I feel like there's a lot of edge case weapons that are not getting dropped.
It's weird because it's like when you're playing an assassination rogue, a dagger is literally, that's the only weapon you can use. That's it. That's the only dagger you can use. And Sigmund in the chat channel just said that they got an int an intellect dagger on their druid. Well, that's great. But there's also several different things that you can use on your druid besides just an intellect dagger. And De Gunther was asking about the war fronts. Do they get the weapons from there? I've done quite a few war fronts, and most of what I am getting is leather armor. That's it.
Yeah, I have gotten weapons from war fronts, but it's not like I ran war fronts.
It's kind of random.
I have to have run at least 100 war fronts over this past week. I've done at least 100, maybe more. I got 3 weapon drops total across 3 characters. Like 3 characters have been in those war fronts. Each of them probably at least 30, 35 times. So total in the 100-110 ballpark of amounts of times I've been in. 3 weapons across 3 characters. 1 character got 2 weapons. 1 character got 1 weapon. 1 character didn't get any weapons.
See, and this is my issue here, is that have there been world quests with weapon rewards? Yes, there have been plenty of those, but they've all been for outlaw rogues. I haven't seen a single one for an assassination rogue, and I play assassination. That's what my spec is. That's like...
What is up here?
What happened? Something has happened here. And I know that there are developers that listen to our show sometimes. So, guys, can you just take a look at this? Because it's beyond ridiculous at this point. And I know it's not just assassination rogues. There are other classes out there that have, like, a single weapon type or maybe a couple of weapon types that they can use, and that's it. And they aren't getting their weapons. Shields. I think people have seen, one or two shields. That's it in the whole gamut.
There was an emissary with a shield alliance side. I don't know if the Horde got a similar emissary, but that's why one of my characters has a shield entirely because of that emissary.
And
that's
Sage it. Time pointed out in the chat channel here that subtlety is daggers too. And yes, they are. So I'm assuming that they're probably not getting any kind of... All I'm seeing is outlaw, 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 outlaw. Look, guys, I know you want me to love your new combat spec or whatever, but I don't want to play it. I want to play the spec that I want to play. So could you just do me a solid? Just give me a couple of weapons that aren't 310. That would be great. I was lucky and I was fortunate enough to get enough gold in Legion that I could purchase 310 daggers off the auction house. Like the day that I hit 120, I was able to go do that. There are other people out there who are not that lucky. And we're sitting here going, I mean, when you play a rogue... It's all about the damage that you do, and you need good weapons to do good damage. So can we do something about this? Can we look at this at least? Can we figure out what's going on? Because this is beyond ridiculous at this point. It's ridiculous.
I really do feel like weapons in general needed more attention than they got this expansion. Just in general, I feel like we going back to them after having artifacts all Legion was always going to be a bit of a hard rumpy road, but rumpy road. Oh my God,
part of
road.
Me is kind of wondering, like, was it always like this and I just put that behind me because we had the artifacts for so long?
Well, before there weren't quests that gave them at all. Like, it was very rare that you'd get a quest get a good weapon. I mean, I'm thinking back to Burning Crusader.
Was it bad like this in Warlords as far as getting weapon drops? Was it bad like this and I just didn't notice?
Yeah, because, I mean, Warlords, to a certain degree, the only weapons you would have gotten were from dungeons. I mean, I don't know. It's like LFR and looking for dungeon, you know, dungeon groups and so forth were the way you got weapons. I remember going back to Burning Crusade, everybody, like people who were in raid guilds who were going to be going into Karazhan were going out to Shadowsong Valley to do the quest that gave you, there were like a blue weapon that dropped that was slightly worse than a dungeon drop. And everybody went and did it to get that weapon because while it was slightly worse than dungeon drop, you could guarantee you'd get it. Whereas
you weren't farming a boss endlessly.
I remember running Shadow Labs. Do you remember the spear that dropped at the end of Shadow Labs that all the hunters wanted?
Yes, I have the worst memory. Thinking about Shadow Labs gives me heartburn.
That spear dropped on a group, and the hunter disconnected. And
oh, no.
I had to take it.
Oh, no.
And it was an upgrade for me, even with that. So I took it, and I was using it, and I was like, he came back, and he was like, what happened? I'm like, yeah, the spear dropped. I got it. The timeout went. And back then you couldn't trade stuff. Back then you won the role. It was yours. It was soul bound. That was it. So I had the spear and every time, like until he finally got a drop off of, I think the Wicked Witch, that fight, I don't remember what, there was a hunter axe that dropped off that fight. Until he got that axe, every time we do anything, be like, you gonna take my spear? Like, I didn't want it in the first place. I had to take it. It was an upgrade. No one else. Yeah, you were disconnected, man. But yeah, weapon drops have always been contentious. Weapon drops. Do you remember that there was this the dagger that dropped off of Rend?
Yes.
It was a epic dagger that dropped off of Rend. It was one of the best daggers. Fury warriors used to try and take it off.
Are you talking about back in Classic?
Yeah.
Oh, there was so much. Okay, so on my server.
Heartrender or Heartseeker, I think.
Yeah, Heartseeker, I think it was. And there was so much. There was a big blowback on my server when that initially dropped because a hunter grabbed it. Because they were like, yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's a hunter weapon. They literally grabbed it because they were like, any weapon is a hunter weapon. And nobody could argue with them. But everybody was so mad.
I think
that person got blackballed from like three different guilds because of that.
Yeah, I was in a guild where that dropped, and our Fury Warrior got it. And he also got the mace off of, it was the Blackrock Depths mace. Iron Foe, I want to say? Yeah, Iron Foe. So the dagger had some kind of crazy crit proc, and Iron Foe had some kind of crazy double attack proc. And in the hands of a Fury Warrior, the two of them were deadly. But like the rogues were just so mad because like he was basically wearing rogue gear, like not just the weapons, but everything he was wearing was rogue gear. So
I mean, I remember paladins like running around like in cloth gear in vanilla because the cloth gear was actually better than any plate they could get for healing.
So yeah, but I think coming back to getting weapons in this expansion, it actually isn't as hard for some classes as it could be because we do have stuff from World Quest that's actually pretty good.
It's just because the artifact system was so good and we never had to think about getting weapons. And I think we got like almost coddled into this space. And I hate using that word too, because I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm complaining because I don't have a weapon upgrade. I haven't been able to find a weapon upgrade. I've been doing the dungeons and things, did LFR, did all this other stuff. Have I gotten a dagger? No. Have they popped up anywhere on the World Quest system? No. And I'm about, my eye level on everything else is above what World Quests are going to give me. The only reason I'm doing them right now is for reputation and because I'm foolishly hoping that at some point in the future, maybe I'll see a dagger pop up. Still hasn't happened yet. Been waiting for a month, but maybe one day. And I know as soon as it happens, like 2 days later, I'm going to get an upgrade from like LFR or something.
Maybe it'll happen in an emissary. That would be nice.
Anyway, but, we got news to talk about.
Yeah, we do actually have a lot to talk about. The first thing is something that happened today, literally like as we were like getting ready to do the show, this information dropped. If you go to BlizzCon this year, or if you get the virtual ticket, there's two ways this will work. If you get the virtual ticket, you will be able to download and play a demo for WoW Classic. And if you go to BlizzCon, it will be at the show. A playable demo for WoW Classic is going to be there. So if you've been curious as to what Classic WoW was going to look like, what the long heralded, you know, retro WoW is going to be, you will get to find out, because that's going to be something you can either play
it's
at home.
It's going to go live right after the opening ceremonies on November 2nd, and the servers are going to stay up through November 8th. So it's just a demo, not the whole thing. I'm assuming that like the whole of the vanilla world will be open to us, but I'm not even sure on that.
Yeah, they haven't said, they haven't announced.
I'm assuming that it's not going to be just like one tiny little section of Classic. I'm assuming that we'll be able to run around and do whatever, but I think that now the immediate question then becomes, okay, so does that mean WoW Classic is going to be out and available for play in the next like 6 months or whatever? And I don't know. I think that this might be like the beginning test to see how viable that build is that they've got.
Yeah, I don't know either. And it's really hard to say. It depends entirely on what we actually see when the time comes.
Yeah.
Like if the demo is...
I'm looking forward to it. Don't get me wrong. I am looking forward to it.
I'm curious. I really don't think I'll do much in it. I don't think I'll play it very often, but I'm curious. Here's one example. I have an extensive weapon collection on my original main, my human warrior. He's got all the weapons that he collected that I never got rid of. I just kept them. When Transmog came about, I did not throw them out. I kept them. One of the reasons I did that was so I could do stuff like go and look at them. They've changed weapon design quite a few times when they've done stat squishes and so forth. Right now, Ashkandi is a 10 DPS weapon. I think it's 11.1 DPS.
Something and like that, yeah.
Back in the day, it was an 80 DPS weapon.
It was so good.
Yeah. I want a gun on Classic and get myself to 60 just so I can look at that weapon again. I don't know how to explain it. Like, if they let me import my original main at a level 60 with, like, his, like, if they had some kind of, this is what you were like at level 60, I would totally do it just to go run around as I was then. Cause it was fun. I did some stuff I love, but in general, I'm not the audience for this, but I'm still interested in seeing what they do and see how fast they can have it out. Cause we've heard nothing up until this was the last time we heard anything. They had the forum posts about what do you want this to be? Right? I'm not crazy. They haven't made any announcements.
That was it. It was just, we'd like your feedback on, and they said, okay, so we're going to do it with build. Was it 1.12? It was the last build of
Drums
Vanilla
of War.
before Burning Crusade came out. So they're going with that final build so that everything is available to play, which makes total sense because everybody wants a complete vanilla experience. I don't know why I keep calling it vanilla. They're trying to go with this whole classic moniker thing, and I should stick with that. Anyway, they want the complete classic experience, so people will be able to start at level 1, get to level 60, and do all the level 60 raids and everything that were available prior to the release of Burning Crusade. Okay, that's cool. That's great. I don't know. I mean, I think I'll play it a little bit, just because I want to see if... I guess I just want to revisit all of the weird places that I used to go to and hang out that don't exist anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or they're so different now, they might as well not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that we've got new Arathi, I wouldn't mind going back to look at old Arathi again and saying, oh, yeah, that's what it was
like. It'd
be
nice to see the Barrens without being split down the middle. And it would be nice seeing, you know, Ashenvale without a big volcano in the middle of it, that kind of thing.
And all the dead elves. Yeah.
That too. Yeah. I could do without that. So I don't know.
It is interesting you pointed that out too, because it is one of those things that you don't realize how much has actually changed until you start cataloging all the changes.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it again. I don't know how seriously I'm going to play all of it or anything. I just want to go see it again and, you know, remember what it was like. For me, it's just like a nostalgia thing. I'm not going to play it like hardcore or anything. I'm not going to try to get to level 60 and get in a raiding guild and do Molten Core and all that all over again. No, I don't need to do that. But
I have the kind of lifetime that would take.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would be lying if I pretended that there wasn't any appeal to that.
I think that if I were going to do anything, what I would like to do is get to 60 and get to a point where I could do the old Naxxramas, because I never got a chance to do that. My original raid guild in Vanilla, we disbanded about halfway through AQ. So I think we were on the approach to Huhuran, and then everybody, a lot of people decided that they wanted to go play EverQuest 2 instead. I don't know how that went for them, but I never heard from them again, so I'm assuming it went okay. But they had originally come over from EverQuest, so when EverQuest 2 was announced, they're like, we want to go back to that. And I'm like, but we're raiding. I'm having so much fun. You're all leaving? So yeah, I never got to do Naxxramas at all. Not at level 60. So I kind of want to do that. I just want to see what it's like. Because
from the videos, it
appears to be a very different experience, you know?
Yeah, when I first went into Nax 25, I remember even saying, this feels like a deserted strip mall compared to the original Nax. Because I was in a guild that was clearing Nax. We didn't finish it, but we were doing, I think we were on Four Horsemen. May have cleared Four Horsemen. It's been a long time.
There was
so much trash, and it was very different. Like,
yeah,
they had different pulls. They were in different places. I mean, when they brought it out in Wrath, they updated the look of everybody to give them gear that you would see on Death Knights of that time. And it was a very different experience. I remember us farming frost resist gear for Saffron forever and ever. You could make it there. So I remember that we were using the forge
there.
The
blue and white sets. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested, but I don't have that kind of time. I like to do stuff like sleep and eat and not have to like go to the bathroom in a bottle. These are all things that I've grown accustomed to over the past you know, 14 years. I don't want to, I'm not going back. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not that interested in going back to all that, but you know, I do get why people want to go see it again just to see what they lost. But
I'm looking forward to having a demo because it'll be really weird logging into that again and just like seeing it again.
I've got
as it was
on my laptop. I've got the Burning Crusade installed. Like nothing since.
I think I have somewhere in the attic. Maybe I have the tablet PC that I used to play Vanilla on. And I think it's still got a vanilla build on it. I don't, because I used to, I raided Molten Core and Blackwing Lair and all that on a tablet PC, guys. It was not a recommended experience, but it worked.
We did what we could with what we had.
Played.
But yeah, we should probably also talk about some other more recent stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that came out this week, one of the things that hit my attention was they finally gave us the Zandalari aquatic form and the High Mountain, I don't want to say Moonkin form exactly, but the High Mountain Moonkin form and the Kul'Tiras shambling monster that casts spells form. I don't know what you call that thing. It's like
Wicker Boom.
Yeah, it's got like a turtle head on it. It looks like a giant beak turtle head skull.
It's scary. It's,
yeah, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great, but
out of the two, I vastly prefer the, I think the Zandalar aquatic form looks amazing.
Yeah, the Zandalar aquatic form is really interesting because it kind of looks like a cross between a shark and an ichthyosaur and a crocodile.
Gator kind of thing. Yeah.
It's got a lot going on.
It looks real good.
The Moonkin form for the Kul'Tiran, I mean, it looks like someone described a Moonkin to the Kul'Tirans. Like, you guys, you don't have any Moonkin druids, do you? What's a Moonkin? Well, it's kind of like this owl-bear hybrid. Ah, okay. What about this? That looks like an ogre corpse with a turtle skull on the head. Yeah, so about the same, right? No. Yours is horrifying. Yeah, okay.
We need to put some antlers on this. Okay.
Oh, you want more? You want more antlers. I understand. No! Who told you anything about antlers? That tauren over there. Yeah.
Give it a few more teeth.
Yeah, it is. I like it, but it is creepy AF. It is a creepy, creepy, creepy thing.
All of the Kul'Tiran druid forms are just slightly off-putting, but I love them for it, you know? Like,
It definitely plays to the Drusvar aesthetic. If you've been to Drusvar, yeah, it's along those lines. The High Mountain Tauren are just getting their High Mountain antlers on their Moonkin form, which is cool. This Tauren that I'm playing in the stream, which if you're not watching the stream, you can't see, he is also a High Mountain, but the hat I'm wearing actually clips the antlers, which is good, because if it didn't, this would just be the busiest head in existence.
But I get
why if you're a High Mountain, you want to have your antlers. I get it. It makes sense. So they're fixing that, and that's cool. But yeah,
that's the thing that makes them High Mountain. It's weird that they wouldn't have those when they're Moonkin.
Yeah, because High Mountain, other High Mountain have their
they look form. Very good, too. They look very nice.
Yeah. But that's it for that. Obviously, LFR Second Wing opened this week.
Have you gotten a chance to look at it yet? Because I haven't.
I've been raiding normal, so we're already on Zul, and we're probably going to kill him this week. We came like to 8% this week.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, so I haven't actually gone to LFR since, because it's just like nothing there is actually an upgrade, and I'm not going to use my coin rolls on it. So it's sort of like, okay, I could go there for in the hopes
I'm
of like
just
get one piece.
I mean, I'm going to run it. I don't know if Wing 2 has a dagger drop, maybe, potentially. I'm hoping so. And if so, maybe I'll get that. That would be great.
There are daggers on the bosses in Uldir. I know that much.
Yeah, I know.
One of our
Wing
rogues
1,
got one.
Wing 1 has a boss that drops a dagger, if I remember correctly. And nothing has dropped anything of any other than, here, have some Azurite power or whatever. And I just can't be bothered. Is it just me or... Okay, how do you feel about the Azurite system right now? Because this has been a debate going back and forth where people are talking about, you know, it doesn't work, it's bad, it's this, that, the other, and they're talking about making adjustments to it and stuff. How do you feel about it in general? Just the Azurite, the whole system of having the necklace and empowering the necklace and blah, blah, blah.
The necklace and empowering the necklace, I don't mind. I actually think that having an artifact necklace is kind of cool. But the way it interacts with the Azurite gear, the way you have to like level up your necklace to even access some of the powers. Like you can get an upgrade that you can't use until you get go and grind out more Azerite power. I don't like that. I don't think the powers, I think they're too complex. This is my biggest problem with the Azerite system from the beginning. It's too complex. There's too many moving parts. There's too many powers.
My thing is if it was just a necklace and we were running around and getting power to charge the necklace, okay, that's one thing. It's sort of like having a mini artifact weapon, but not because it's a necklace, right? I don't have a problem with that. The Azerite armor is like somebody said, hey, do you remember when reforging was a thing? Let's just put that back in again, only make it ridiculously complicated. And instead of, you know, having trees or whatever where people can like, we're just going to make like abilities, but the abilities aren't, you know, some of them are going to be good. Some of them are going to be bad. You won't know what it is until you like get your weapon and unlock it. And yeah, have fun with that, guys. I just, yeah. I don't know.
And the fact that it basically... It imposes having to get more than one set of gear if you want to tank in DPS or heal in DPS.
Exactly.
I don't like that. I don't like... Oh, by the way, there's two more daggers. One's on Zul, one's on Gahoon. So if you go to the new raid, Zul is open.
Yeah. Zul I can get to. I can't get to the other guy yet.
But to get back to what you were asking, I just feel like it's too much complexity, too many moving parts, too many things you have to keep in track of. Like this piece of 370 gear that I got is an upgrade, but it's not as much of an upgrade as it could be because of the power it gives isn't as good. And also, it's also not as much of an upgrade because I don't have enough artifact power to unlock it yet. So in reality, it's actually a downgrade from the 340s I'm currently wearing, and I'll have to keep it, you know, in my bags until I get enough artifact power to use its powers.
Breathe.
Yeah, but that's the point. You have to, like, all that thought into it. It's like, I just want to put on the 370 piece I got. Why can't I wear the upgrade?
I got a new piece of gear. I'd like to use this new piece of gear. Oh, I can't yet because my necklace is still trash. What?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like,
separating it from anything else and just taking a step back and looking at it, going... I can't use this piece of gear because my necklace isn't good enough is just a ridiculous statement in and of itself. I don't know. For me, I think where my issue is coming in is that almost every world quest out there and many of the missions on my mission table are offering Azerite as a quest reward, right? Okay, cool. Here's some more fake numbers for your necklace. And if when it gets enough fake numbers, it'll bump up and then maybe you could do something with your shoulders. There's nothing satisfying about that system. There's nothing satisfying about doing a bunch of quests and getting... a thing that doesn't even sit in your bag. It's not even anything you can use. It's just applied to that thing that you're wearing around your neck. That's it.
Yeah, I feel like if the artifact
itself... Does that make sense?
No. I feel like if the artifact itself had had some powers and you could pick between them and it was just you choosing what powers you wanted to use and it didn't involve...
Sort of like an artifact weapon.
Yeah, and it didn't involve, okay, now I got this shoulder drop from this dungeon, but this shoulder drop doesn't have that power I want. But it's still an upgrade, so I'll use it until I get the power I want. And then they went and tied in, we can't even talk about this, we don't have time, but reorigination matrix is one of the most annoying things I've ever heard of. Do you know what that one is?
No.
There's a specific power.
It sounds terrible, though.
There's a specific power on some of these pieces that drop in Uldir, where up to three bosses you kill in a week, as you kill three bosses, it will add one to the power that, in its... very complex and very annoying because you have to like, okay, we've killed three bosses in Uldir this week, so now I get another plus one bonus to my, like, it adds a bonus to your haste, essentially, and damage. And it's just like, what? Like, now I, so it's not useful unless I raid Uldir? Like, what if I don't raid Uldir 1 week? What if I'm sad or I'm sick or whatever? Do I not get the bonus? No, you don't. You don't get it that week.
Here's my thing with it, and it all just boils down to this. I don't feel sufficiently motivated to go do a world quest or do a mission or put in, you know, the war resources to do a mission when the only thing I get out of it is a chunk of a rock that I see in the reward window, but I don't actually get. I don't click it. And I guess I am thankful for that because that was one of the annoying things about the artifact system was that all of those little things with the artifact power where you had to sit there and you had to like right click all of them to apply them to your weapon. I mean, yeah. At least you were getting a physical something, but it was kind of a pain, right? They eliminated the painful part of it, but they also, that's all you get is this set of numbers applied to this thing. And to me, that just doesn't, I mean, I know realistically, if I want to upgrade my necklace, I have to go do these things, but I don't feel motivated to do it because it's like, no. It's so boring. It's just, it feels really meaningless on a level that I haven't experienced in World of Warcraft so far. It just it doesn't feel important. It doesn't feel meaningful. It just feels like a waste of time. I'm not even getting any big amounts of gold or anything out of this. All I'm getting are these numbers. That's it.
I feel like Azerite power and, Azerite and artifact power and all that stuff, it's fine when it does something tangible and immediate, but when you add something so complex to it, like, okay, I have the helmet with these three powers, I've got the shoulder with these three powers, I've got the chest plate with these three powers, and the powers all interlock in certain ways, so some are better than others, and do you have them all locked? Do you have the right one so you can get, like, a double boost of the power that's really good? And it's just, I don't hate it, but I feel like it should have been more simple than this. Because I really do feel like the past couple expansions, we've had this idea that a piece of gear that is an upgrade should be an immediate upgrade.
Yeah.
And that is no longer the case.
It should be something that you can utilize. And we have Starhammer in the chat channel who is making a point, and I feel like we should go ahead and address this. He says, come on, are you really complaining about the Heart of Azeroth? Players complain that it's always more of the same. Then when Blizzard adds a new feature like Heart of Azeroth and now everyone hates it because it's different, that's not why I don't like it, Starhammer. The reason that I don't like it is because when you are playing a game for rewards, you expect those rewards to be kind of like a tangible, ooh, goody, I got a thing. I don't feel that when I just get a number added to a necklace that I've been wearing since the expansion started. That sense of reward isn't there. And maybe it's not the most important thing in the world, but to me, it's like, if you're going to reward someone for going out and doing a quest or completing a mission or doing whatever, then shouldn't they feel like they're getting something from that reward? Because I don't feel like I'm getting anything from
Heart
of Azeroth. I don't even know what my count is at. I don't know how many more of these things that I have to do to get another level on the necklace. Like, there's no bar indicator or anything that tells me, hey, you need to get this much more. Nothing. There's no indicator of if
my
this
UI
is even having
me, but...
Okay, so maybe I need to look into a UI thing that'll add that, because right now there's no indicator that it's actually doing anything for me. That's the thing.
I feel like with the Heart of Azeroth, for me, the problem isn't the Heart of Azeroth itself. For me, it's the Azerite gear. I don't feel the Azerite gear works well. It's not an elegant system.
I think we're beating this dead horse into the ground, though. And a lot of people have talked about it already. Blizzard has addressed this in bits and pieces, and they are looking at it and thinking things over. I don't know. I'm going to level my Nightborne and be happy about it until that point where I realize I'm never going to see a dagger. Anyway.
That is a problem. We should talk a little about the Overwatch PTR, because there's been some stuff added to that. I don't really know what's going on with Torbjorn other than he's throwing lava at people. That's what I was told.
He can shoot lava and he can throw a turret. He's got they're giving him a rework, basically. Okay, so they're trying to make this... They're trying to apply what they did with Symmetra to Torbjorn, I think, in some ways. They're trying to make this formerly defensive character somewhat more powerful on maps where they're attacking or trying to retake objectives or things like that. Like, Torbjorn is really good for defense, but he's not so much for the offense. So what they're trying to do here is give him some abilities and give him some ways in which he can actually contribute and be more effective when he's engaging enemies by himself. And they're also, trying to make his turret more powerful because, that's a thing that should happen. But yeah, they're making it so that he can toss his turret like a projectile and it places itself automatically at like level 2. Level 1 turrets, they're not around anymore. There's basically a lot of complicated stuff going on with Torbjorn and what they're doing with him. But shooting lava is a thing, which I think is absolutely amazing. I mean, if we just want to go full dwarf with him, yeah, go ahead. Have him shoot lava. Why not? But those changes are available to play on the PTR right now, and I'm assuming that they're going to go like live somewhere around the Halloween event, which should pop up sometime soon here, I'm thinking, because, you know, we're almost into October.
I read one person saying that Torbjorn was actually pretty ironically a good counter for Brigitte. And yeah, that was interesting to me. It's like, you know, I guess your dad would kind of know how to push your buttons to a certain
degree. Yeah.
So, you know, father-daughter dynamics out in game form.
And there's other tweaks going out there as well. I think Soldier 76, McCree, Farah, and I want to say Orisa, they're all getting tweaks, but nothing on the scale of what they're doing to Torbjorn. So if you play Torbjorn, or if you've played him in the past and you kind of wished, gosh, I wish he was a little more effective, go check him out on the PTR. Go give him some play, because I think these are good changes. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to play with them myself. I've just seen videos and obviously, you know, watch the overview on it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see what they're going for here. It's something similar to what they did with Symmetra, where they want to, you know, they want to make a character that people are going to want to play on offensive, like when attacking, as well as, you know, on defense.
All right, that's cool. One last thing, and I suspect this one might actually take up a good deal of talking time for the two of us, but Heroes of the Storm put out a new comic for their new, you know, Fall of King's Crest event.
Yeah, they did.
And you want to go? You wrote an article about it, so
I had some things to say about this, and I feel kind of bad about saying those things, but I also feel like they kind of needed to be said. Go read the comic, first off, because the comic, it's very well done. It was written by Justin Dye, illustrated by, I'm going to say these names wrong, I think it's Su Qing or something like that, and Sasha Tudvazveva. I'm going to say these names totally wrong, and I really apologize to all the people involved with this. It is a beautiful comic. The illustrations in it are gorgeous. The artwork is gorgeous. The coloring is on point. It's well-paced. The panels are well laid out. The dialogue is fine. Everything. It's a good comic. I just don't care. That's the problem for me, is that Blizzard said that they were going to start introducing this whole extended narrative for Heroes of the Storm. And when they said this was back at PAX East, I think in April. Was it April?
I think it was April. I don't remember exactly when PAX East was, but yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, they said that they were going to introduce this ongoing narrative, and they talked about how Heroes of the Storm, the Nexus, is like actually this universe that connects all these different realms, and there are realms that are like, you know, the World of Warcraft realm, or the Diablo realm, or the Overwatch realm, and then there are original realms, like the realm of the Raven Lord, or, you know, the realm that King's Crest exists on, that kind of thing, and they're all fighting for dominance and supremacy and all this other stuff. And when I first heard this, I'm like, okay, all right, I could see this. I can get on board with this. Let's see what they do with it, because they've never had any kind of an extended narrative in Heroes of the Storm. From day one, when they first announced this thing, it was very tongue-in-cheek. It was like, let's get these heroes from all over the place and let them beat each other up. And that was it. It was fine. It was enough. It was all we needed. It was really cheeky and fun and kind of irreverent, and resulted in things like Abathur in pajamas and Asmodan doing sick dunks with the basketball, right? Okay, so there was like a lot going on there, but it never really had to be taken seriously, and I don't think it was ever really taken very seriously. It didn't need to be. It was kind of, to me, I kind of clumped it over in the same area as Hearthstone. Hearthstone doesn't have like an ongoing narrative or anything like that. It has these expansions that it does, and the expansions have little stories to go with them. And the stories are so ridiculous and so over the top and so everything else, but it fits right in within the context of playing Hearthstone. I feel like with these comics and with this narrative that they're trying to push, they're trying to get us to take Heroes of the Storm seriously. And I can't quite get there. And maybe that's a problem with me, but I can't quite get there. Because every time I start thinking, gosh, I should really feel invested in these characters or whatever, then I remember the Suns Out, Guns Out trailer and I start laughing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't really want to hear about how Tychus Finley's sunburn is affecting the Nexus. It just, I don't know. There's a moment in the comic, and I'm not going to, if you haven't read it, I'm not going to spoil it or talk about it too much, but there's a moment in the comic where it happens and I'm like, that was gratuitous. Like, that we just got this character basically like one or two comics ago, and now that happened? Okay. Like, I don't know how to put it. It's hard to ramp up the stakes in something where the stakes were, you know, we're going to wear wrestling matches. We're going to wear wrestling masks and be luchadors. Okay, now we're robots in a mecha version of Stormwind.
Huge Space Lord Leoric and the Star Princesses. Like, that's all I need.
It's Space Lord Leoric, which is, it's literally Star Wars meets, you know, Sailor Moon.
You know? And it was great. It was so great. I loved that trailer. I loved the Suns Out, Guns Out thing. I keep going back to that one because it was so ridiculous, but I laughed so hard. Like, it worked. It worked. It was goofy. It was irreverent. Yeah. It was kind of fun. And that's all Heroes has ever really been to me, or needed to be to me. It didn't need a heavy ongoing narrative. It didn't need anything to kind of push it to an emotional level where I'm having some kind of emotional reaction to it. Because I don't need that emotional reaction for Heroes of the Storm. I just want to play my goofy characters with their goofy skins and beat the snot out of some other dudes. And that's all I need. That's all I need. I don't know.
Yeah, it does feel like it's a situation where they're trying to implement this. And to a certain degree, in order to sell it, you have to get people to care about characters they've just introduced. And there's no stakes. It's one thing to do it in WoW when people have been playing WoW for years and have an emotional attachment to characters.
Or with Overwatch. Overwatch introduced that narrative from the very first cinematic that it produced. Like, that first thing where it simultaneously set up Overwatch, told us about the fall of it, told us with the kids what people were thinking about it, and then introduced all these heroes who were obviously still out there. I mean, that whole, 3-4 minute, whatever it was, animated short, that first one that they did at BlizzCon, by the time they finished that thing and the kid's sitting there going, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I don't even know what this game is about, but I'm in, right? We never got that with Heroes of the Storm. Heroes of the Storm, when it was introduced as Blizzard Dota. It was a very tongue-in-cheek kind of trailer. I remember seeing the trailer for the first time and thinking, that looks like fun. Like, that looks like a fun game to play. There's nothing narrative-wise here. I mean, I think when they first introduced it, they were like, two gods, one red, one blue. They gathered all these heroes to just fight for ladder points or whatever.
They did make a joke of that fact, yeah.
They made a joke out of it. And it was like, okay, cool. All right, I'm on board. I'm on board with whatever you're going to give me. That's cool.
But yeah, but so that
3 years after the game has already launched and been inundated with all of this silly stuff, you want to throw me into a serious story? I can't get into it. And I feel really bad because it's not a bad story. It's not. It's just I don't care.
Had they opened with this, like if you know, Heroes of the Storm had opened with, you know, the Raven Lord is doing evil and you heroes must stop him.
Yeah.
Then we would have known, you know, it probably would have worked.
On board with it. Right now I've got so many other preconceptions about this game that it's just really hard for me to kind of absorb that narrative. And I find myself wishing more and more with each of these comics that come out. And don't get me wrong, like I said, these are excellent comics. The story is great. The artwork is fantastic. They are beautiful. They are better than some of the Warcraft ones that came out pre-Battle for Azeroth. But I find myself wishing that they had just, like, leaned into the silly. Because the silly is kind of what the game's already always been about. And if they had taken the Hearthstone approach with it and just gone down that... I mean, we've got, three different games that have pretty heavy storylines already? StarCraft, even though StarCraft isn't really doing much of anything right now. We don't need another one. We do need some lighthearted fun. That's what Heroes has always been. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we should probably, at this point, we're getting kind of late, so we should try and at least do one or two emails. But yeah, I don't disagree with you on Heroes of the Storm.
Okay.
If you have an email for the show, guys, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast of Blizzard Watch so we know it's for this show. Anne's going to read for us, so if you don't mind, Anne.
This first one is a doozy, and I didn't read it in advance, and now I feel bad. But okay, this is from Zach B., who says, hello. I've mained a Death Knight since the beginning of Legion, but I'm feeling left out with all the allied races. Do you think we'll see an allied race that is able to be a Death Knight? And if so, what races do you think are possible?
I didn't until recently in Battle for Azeroth.
What do you think?
I've been looking at like stuff that's going on in Battle for Azeroth's story, and I can imagine changes that allow, like, I can imagine them changing the Death Knight starting zone to reflect the new reality of who's currently the Lich King.
I didn't even think about that. And now that I'm thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, that would open Death Knights to pretty much every race, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And that guy, you know, Bolvar as Lich King has got a different approach than Arthas. I could see them doing it. I think some definitely wouldn't work. Like Void Elves, no. Void Elves are already tied to something else. It's already part of them. I don't see them then becoming Death Knights.
Death Knight kind of looks like a Void Elf anyway.
Yeah. So I don't see Void Elves. But you could definitely see Nightborn or High Mountain. I don't think Lightforged. Again, I think Lightforged and Void Elves are both a case where you've got something there that would prevent it. You know, you can say that the Lich King's powerful enough to overcome the Worgen curse, but I feel like a Lightforged Death Knight is almost anathematical to itself. It's antithetical. There's just no way for the two to...
They've been given a supercharged dose of go-go light juice. Don't think that even the Lich King is going to be able to overcome that. But
and much the same way the Void Elves, it doesn't seem to work.
Didn't even think about that, though. I didn't even think about the fact that, oh yeah, all that stuff is going on. It is entirely possible we're going to see a new wave of Death Knights in the future.
Yeah,
it's possible. It's entirely possible.
After Legion, it's definitely set up that the Lich King is more firmly in control than he ever has been. The Knights of the Ebon Blade have been returned to the fold. Darian Mograine is directly working as one of the Four Horsemen. The only person who would be standing in his way was the guy who played the Death Knight, you know, the Death Lord in Legion, and that guy's off doing other stuff.
I still feel so bad for Darian Mograine. Like, yeah, his life is just terrible, and after his life was over, it just got worse.
Yeah, it's one guy whose death has just made things worse for that guy, yeah. But, you know, if your Death Knight, like my Death Knight, if she even stopped to think about all the bad stuff she was doing, there was always more stuff that had to get done. So, yeah, at the end of Legion, and with stuff going on in Battle for Azeroth, I could see the Lich King reopening recruitment, and I could see new Death Knights, and I could see it for most races. Zandalar, sure, why not? Kul Tirans, sure, why not? Especially with one particular Kul Tiran that he'll be interested in.
I don't want that to happen.
I don't want it to happen either, but you know his eye's going to turn that way.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. So there's room for some of them. I think maybe sooner or later it will happen. I just don't know when. Right now, the only class I think that can play absolutely every single allied race is Warrior. I think Warriors are the only class that can play everybody. But that's in the future.
I was going to say Rogue, but then I forgot about Tauren.
Yeah, I don't think the Time Mountain can be Rogues.
And Draenei. Neither one of them can be Rogues.
Yeah, so... But we'll see. I mean, we got the Dark Irons and the Zandalar. Neither of them strike me as not being able to be Death Knights, you know? So I definitely think it could happen. That's my take on it.
Ugh, it's terrible to think about. Thanks, Zach, for giving us this horrible thing to think about. Our next email is from Suggle Kitten, who says, "Greetings, Watchers. Addressing the recent conversation of flying and warlords, I find it puzzling that people playing a game don't want to play the game. I can see that by patch 11, we will only have level 1 to 10 for the current expansion. Everything before that will be auto-completed. Players will get every armor piece, every recipe, because it's too inconvenient to actually have to play older content. Oh, and new characters will start in the opening zone of the new expansion already with purple level 500 gear. Thanks for a great show, Suggle Kitten." I think you're kind of, like, going overboard there, Suggle Kitten. We're not... The thing about flying in Warlords, it isn't that people want stuff handed to them or whatever. It's that legit, by the time, if you sat there and you ground out all that it took to get flying in Warlords, I don't know why you would, because by the time you get the opportunity to get started on that, you're already moving on to another expansion, so it's just not useful. So I think the argument there is that why not let players have that when they arrive, instead of having them, you know, it's going to be something that they're just eternally missing out on because they just can't be bothered to go back and do all that stuff. So people do want to play the game. They want to play the game where everybody else is playing over at max level. And
yeah. Plus, I mean, there's another thing to think about here too. If you want to make it so people level in Warlords content when it's level appropriate and don't fly, so they get to see it on their first character the way it was for everybody who got that. That's cool. But I can fly. All my alts can fly in Warlords right now because I got Pathfinder on my main.
Yeah.
Somebody who just starts playing the game can't do that. And in order to get that achievement, it's like, well, you can go on and go do Legion, or you can sit here and try and grind rep with these guys that give you nothing. It's just, why wouldn't I just go do Legion? If anything, it keeps people from playing that content.
I would be okay if they kept the Pathfinder in, but like relaxed the requirements so that, you know how you had Pathfinder Part 1 and Part 2, and Part 2 involved Tanan Jungle and all of that? I would be okay with them reducing that, like cutting out the Part 2 and saying, okay, so you have to do all of the exploration and all that stuff that was required for Pathfinder Part 1, and when you're done unlocking Part 1, that's when you're going to get flying. The thing that's tedious to me is that the second part of Pathfinder, you don't get to it until you're already max level. And if you're already max level, well, then that's old content. And yeah, you want to keep playing the game because you want to get to where your friends are at, up there at level 120. So, I mean, that's where the sticking point is for me, I think.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, there's no reason somebody... I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, everything will auto-complete and you all get all the armor in the game. By the way, do that, Blizz. Give me all the armor in the game. Give it to me now.
Sure.
No, I'm kidding.
Just let me push a button and fill my wardrobe.
My wardrobe is already ridiculously full. I farm old stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a difference between this is just busy work that keeps you from actually playing the game anymore, and this is something that everybody, you know, it's too easy to let people have it. I feel like once you've leveled the character through Draenor, I would be okay with, like, you level your character through Draenor, and as soon as you hit 100, boom, you get Pathfinder. I would be okay with that, because now your character has a level 100 character on your account. You've got a level 100 character. Now you've
got obviously
Pathfinder.
Did the Draenor content.
Yeah.
You know.
You did it, boom. Now you've got Pathfinder, and now your alts can all fly when they level through this. That'd be fine by me. You still did it at least once. And having people, like, Pathfinder itself wasn't an easy achievement. Like, there was some stuff in it you had to kind of work to get. So I feel like that can be relaxed so that people can get it. Okay, cool. I'm now going to go do Legion. And when I hit level 120, I'm going to come back and do some of these old instances and stuff. And I won't have to, like, ride over land to get to all of them. Because, man, if I had to ride over land to farm some of the instances I'm farming in Warlords content, I would be mad.
Yeah. And I don't really have a problem with it if they wanted to auto... The Pathfinder system to unlock flying, I'm okay with that system. I was okay with it in Legion. I'm okay with it in Battle for Azeroth. I was okay with it in Warlords. It was kind of nice. It was like, okay, I get to utilize all those ground mounts that maybe I haven't spent a lot of time utilizing or whatever. I get to utilize all of those, and eventually, through my own hard work, I can unlock flying, and I don't have to pay a ton of gold to get it done or anything like that. And it works. I mean, it works. There's no denying that it works. The thing that doesn't work for me is that when you move beyond that content, the people that maybe weren't playing during Warlords or weren't playing during Legion, like they just started playing with Battle for Azeroth, they aren't going to get that flying in those old areas unless they decide to go back at 120 or whatever, or just spend a lot of time in old content that doesn't really matter anymore. That's where it kind of falls apart for me. So I don't know. I don't think that they should get rid of it for Legion, because Legion is still too recent. I think it's pretty recent, and it's recent enough that people can go through and play through that stuff. Warlords, though, by now is how many years old?
We're looking at 5 or 6. I mean,
yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I think it's old enough now that maybe we could relax those. Maybe. I don't know. I'd be okay with it. I'd be okay. I think we have time for one more email. Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. So this one is from Luggage, who now has me thinking about Terry Pratchett and being mildly terrified, but that's okay. They say, hey guys, so far we know there's a Diablo comic, a Diablo Switch port, and a new Diablo book coming out. We know that there are rumors of a Diablo Netflix series. Does that mean that maybe there isn't a Diablo 4 coming? I mean, that's a lot of Diablo news, especially if the Netflix cartoon happens. Are we just projecting? And if there is a new Diablo game, does it have to be a direct sequel? Everyone seems to be lining up to kick PUBG and Fortnite off of their thrones. Why not Blizzard? You guys are so cute. Luggage.
You, Luggage. Please don't eat us.
What do you think? Do you think Diablo 4 is going to be another dungeon crawler, or do you think that they go the route of Fortnite and PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds?
I don't have anything against those games, but I'm not particularly interested in playing one.
Aren't, but there are obviously millions of other people that are.
But to a certain degree, you have to look at the world. Like, with Blackout coming out, Call of Duty, is it Call of Duty Blackout? I can't remember if it's Call of Duty or not.
I'm not sure.
But Blackout is this big, big, big challenger to the Fortnite and PUBG, and apparently it's really good. People who've played it are like, yeah, this is great. This is the best Battle Royale yet. So with that coming out, with Fallout 76 being a kind of survival-y, you know, multiplayer version of Fallout, with that kind of stuff happening, I feel like maybe it's not the time to put out another. You know, if Blizzard did it, it would be like when Blizzard did Overwatch. It would be the most polished one ever, and everybody would be fall in love with it. And we know how it works. We've seen it enough times. But I feel like now isn't the time. Like, it's not, we don't need to have another Fortnite just yet. Maybe in a year or two. I really don't think Diablo is the game for it either. Because those games all tend to be
a bunch of all-powerful Nephilim duking it out for supremacy.
Yeah, but those games all tend to be somewhat zany.
Yeah, they do.
And Diablo is not zany. If you do that game, I guess if you do it right, it'd be great. But it's going to be gory as heck. Diablo is the one game where it's like Mortal Kombat looks tame to me after I play Diablo for a couple hours and realize I've literally showered myself in demon gore. I'm actually walking through a whirlwind of steel that is sending demon parts up into the sky. I mean, it's a gory game, so I don't know.
Even running over the bugs is kind of a gross, visceral experience. It's great.
One of those games that just, it is about mayhem and loot acquisition, and I hope they don't go too far away from that. Although I am also the same guy who has said repeatedly, I would love like a Breath of the Wild / Skyrim type Diablo game. So yeah, I'm being a little hypocritical. If they did a Diablo game franchise that I'm interested in, suddenly I'd be okay with it. And if they do one I don't, suddenly I'm not. So I do get that. But the idea that this is not going to be a Diablo 4, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if they actually don't have a Diablo 4 announcement at BlizzCon, people are going to be real upset. They're going to be sad. They're going to feel like there's no game.
I will be one of those people. I'm just saying.
Yeah, the only thing they could do that would make me not be sad would be if they announced some huge major expansion for Diablo 3. And it would have to be a big one. It would have to be going to level 80, all this new gear. We're going to finally find out what happened to all these characters. Like, here's, you know, here's Adria's fate in hell. Here's what happened to Leah. Here's what's going on with Covet of Shen and the gemstone and all that stuff in Durgist. You know what I mean? That's the only thing they could do that would get me to not be depressed. But frankly, at this point, if you're going to do that, do it in Diablo 4. You know,
I really want to know what's up with Covet of Shen, and you just reminded me that I really want to know what's up with Covet of Shen.
Covet of Shen is in my head all the time. Like, I'm constantly going, what is the deal with this? Like, is he free? You've certainly hinted that he's not lying to me. There's been enough stuff in the game to make me think, okay, he really is formerly a god. Could we have some details on this? What does that mean? You know, just something. Come on, guys.
Okay. Well, I think that kind of wraps up our emails there, and that also wraps us up for the show. Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcasts, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Anne. Again, if you have an email for the show, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with podcast or Blizzard Watch in the subject line so we know it's for this show. Thank you guys so much for being here. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be here next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.